if the membership has no power. We're supposed to be the voice of the 99%. This is what we're really fighting for here. And it's got to be a win or lose kind of a situation now, because that's exactly what it is. If we lose, we don't have anything anyway. If we win, we have something to build a foundation on. So you spoke a little bit, Jim, about these different groups that are popping up. We have a meeting on Monday that sounds very similar to what the CAB does, but they have a free hand because they don't have the bylaws that the CAB has to abide by, which is we only advise. So I'm going to be going to that meeting on Monday. I suggest other people as well. It's not an either or thing for the gentleman that spoke prior to us. We have to fight for what we know is correct. This is even bigger than WBAI. If we can win, if we can build a foundation from this obstacle, all of these obstacles are coming up, which is what I think this is intended to happen in any case, then we will have a possibility of being able to keep the semblance of the democratic system that we have in place currently within the whole country. This is a very big deal, very big, much bigger than Bob Henley and even WBAI, but right now WBAI is kind of in between it. So if we have to get a group going, we have to decide what would be the first step to get that group going. Do we have a mailing list that we can work with now? Can we author a piece of correspondence that we can start a dialogue with the listeners via correspondence? You know what I'm saying? We'll have to get that done like within a week. That will not be, it shouldn't take a week to do. We either can get a mailing list of 1,000, 5,000 or more, or if you only get 100, but get a mailing list. Author some kind of piece of correspondence that's persuasive, clear cut, and easy for the listener to understand what is actually going on. Provide a telephone number. If you want, I will pay for a phone to so that we can gain access and feedback. And let's get rolling. I'm going to put all my right. hand down.
All right, that sounds good. And you can perhaps, whatever meeting is going on tomorrow, perhaps you can announce that later. But there are meetings that have been going on since last week about all this. And they've been rather intensive. People have been meeting since last week about this issue. In fact, every day for several days in a row. So people are meeting and talking about this right now. And as far as I'm concerned, the more the merrier. Go on, Daryl.
Come on, man.
Daryl.
Yeah, this new Zoom platform is totally whacked out. All right. Daryl McPherson, Bronx, New York, member of WBAI CAP. The focus for WBAI needs to be two things. One, is it possible to get a program? If not a program, then a podcast that people can get access to, explaining the bylaws change so that people understand the threat. Because most people, even though that was very comprehensive, Jim, ain't going to understand it and ain't going to care. Two, am I incorrect in considering WBAI different, or even the Pacifica Network, different than any other communication unit in... Oh, come on. Give me some words I can work with here. Communication systems that transmit information to the individual that would make the individual's life better. One, we need to get the individual's attention. Two, we need to give them the information that we have. And B, we need to engage that individual who is under attack every day simply because they live in the United States of America, and that's what monopoly capitalism is. Three, focus rather than New Day and bylaws, especially in New York, with access to 28 million people, is listeners and getting the listeners become members, and then getting the members to do outreach to their fellow human beings to get more listeners so that we can get enough money to save Pacifica. Now, from what I've heard from the people that I've listened to in some of the meetings, we're talking about $15 million that would sort of get us started again. We live in a country in which the first 7 billionaires on the Forbes real-time billionaire list comes to $1 trillion. We operate in a system in which nonprofits, if cleverly managed, have access to a great deal of capital. There are also passive streams of income that would provide an answer to our problem if we're able to get people to change their behavior. What I want to know is, how can we get the information to the population that will save the network? Because, Jim, what is the debt, total debt, including buildings, of Pacifica? Let me ask it this way, forget that. Would $15 million buy us Pacifica? Okay, I'm done.
All right, thank you. Yeah, we need to get millions of dollars in, and none of this would have happened. This situation would never have happened if the station in New York, and I state that up front, I've always stated up front, if we'd been in the black for years, none of this would have happened. Okay. So a lot of this is on us here in New York. And, you know, I'll be the first to say that. And I'm not saying anything I haven't said before for 20 years. So, but we're in a situation now where all these other changes are to be implemented. And frankly, I'm looking at some of the chat, and we'll get into the chat in a minute. You know, we've got to deal with the situation right now. That's it. Now, the call on user one. Go on, call on user one. Call on user one. You have your hand up?
Yes, I did.
Go on,
ma'am. Do you hear me?
We do.
Do you hear me?
We do.
Oh, you do hear me. Oh, that's
yes.
Great. I would like to say this. I've been a avid listener of BAI for over 45 years. I remember many of the great managers. I remember volunteering a number of times. I remember even performing at BAI and submitting information work that I did to BAI. First of all, Denise, I applaud you for what you have said. My 45 years plus in listening to the station, all right, has brought me to this point. Just by chance, I wrote down the information for the CAB meeting. And I called in. I was a member of the CAB at one time. I'm not a member right now. There have been some things, but that's me and what happened to me and BAI. But I am still a supporter of BAI, although there are some things that I disapprove of. Now, I understand it's survival, but it's not just survival of Pacifica. It's survival of generations to come who may not have heard BAI, but need to be introduced to BAI. I don't look at television, and I'm not a computer bug, okay? I listen to the radio, and I listen and speak on the radio a number of times when I'm allowed. I find that in the past, BAI, when Amy Goodman was, oh, here she comes running down the hallway, when Bernard White would announce she's here. Okay, Van Esler, Samori Marksman, Ilambe Brath. That's when BAI was really on fire. Right now, I support BAI, but I don't know to what extent BAI has basically turned what face it's wearing. What is it projecting now? You cannot say, well, it's over and we need not fight. If that be the case, then hey, I guess you might say this is the 21st century and I'm back on the plantation. I will fight till the day I die for truth, honesty. And it's not a matter of what tone your skin is. It's what's in your head, what's in your heart, and who you are fighting for, and what God you pray to. I don't care if it's Allah. I don't care if it's Buddha. I don't care, as long as it's not the greenback or the chip coin or whatever it is type of monetary concern that they want us to adopt and pledge allegiance to. If you care about people, and if you care about the earth, and if you care about the generations to come, then you'll do the right thing. So I thank you for giving me time to speak. I thank you, Denise, for saying what you have said. I will still support you because I believe in fight. So even if I go against you, I'm supporting you by trying to get you on the right road.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to read some of the, I think the stream is up. Is that correct? Someone can verify that. We're on the stream. I think Otis put us on the stream. Is that correct? All right. Someone can let me know that. Jack, if you're still there or somebody can listen to it.
Jim, I had checked it. It's there.
Okay. So the stream is operational,
Yeah. It's running fine.
That's, okay. All right. So,
Jim, explain what the stream is for the Luddites.
The stream is the recording.
KPFTX is running us live streamed about 10 seconds after your voice, Jim.
Right. KPTFX.
KPTFX. Right. Where the meeting is posted is running a live stream now. A half hour ago, they weren't actually.
Right. So I will repeat later what I talked about with these bylaw changes. And people are asking why certain people were not invited. We can invite them again. We can go back and do this again and do this again and do this again until we have literally thousands of people dealing with this issue in New York City and every other signal area. All right. Now, let me again raise something about this. I'm not defending the situation that got us here. That is the collapse of the fiscal status in New York. I'm not defending that, okay? You'll never hear me defend that. That has to change. There's no doubt about it. But what is obvious to me is that I showed you all earlier that we have a situation, a very serious financial situation, that has to be addressed now. And the amount of money coming in as listener pledges is only roughly 10% of what it normally would be. And, you know, God bless people from external organizations giving money to Pacifica. That's great. However, can one count on that happening every month? $120,000 to $150,000 a month? And what does that mean? Even an NPR station doesn't depend on constant donorship all the time. And the numbers of people who finance WBA radio, you know, all the stations, about 80% of their money come in from listener members at least, and usually higher than that. So the fact that we only have, and I quote this statistic because I sat there and studied it very carefully when I was chair of the Strategic Planning Committee of the National Board for 2 years. We had 100,000 paid subscribers in 2004. We have roughly 30,000 now. That, to me, is the problem to solve, not wasting our energy in internecine fighting, which is what this attack on the democracy of our bylaws, in my humble opinion, is. And that is, to me, a waste of our energy, but it has to be fought. And in fighting it, we also have to rebirth the whole network and solve this problem of the money for once and for all, which means we have to have a mass effect on the people of our country and the world. That's the goal. That's the vision statement of the network. That is where we should be aiming our energies at instead of fighting with each other. And I consider it very, it just provokes a lot of anger in me that we have to sit there and fight this battle once again, similar to what happened in 2019, and similar in some ways to what happened back in the late 90s and early 2000s. All right. Carolyn, you haven't spoken yet. Go on, Carolyn.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Your initial presentation, which was not streamed, was not lost on me, but I'm going to suggest, Jonathan Markowitz's suggestion was right on point. You need to re-record that, slow down a little bit, maybe 50%, so that people can follow you. Use a stylus to underline the words as you speak them, and put it on an open, I don't know what to call it even, website, where anybody can reach it, whom we write to. And then write to every member of the foundation, especially BAI station, and tell them to go there and pay attention, because they're about to be sold down the river. And I don't think that people will stand for it once they understand the implications. It's technically difficult, and the management gurus who proposed this, I've heard proposals like, well, it's too many people, smaller boards are more manageable. Lots of excuses, the same ones that we heard years ago and we don't need anymore. So I would suggest that you do what you're doing, even perhaps the rest of this conversation, but that initial presentation you gave was right on, and people need to see that. So if we sent a link out to every member of the foundation and said, listen to these 15 minutes and you'll understand what the issue is, and then frame it better and tell them what to do about it. And that is to, do whatever it is needs doing at that point. Because I feel that the things that we are being faced with are illegal. If we look carefully at the bylaws and what the Pacific people are supposed to be doing, this is not what boards are hired to do. And I think that we need to look very carefully at that and then do something about that and galvanize membership so that, first of all, they understand the issue. Most people don't understand it. I've heard bits and pieces of this. You've gone over it. Other people have explained it to me. But the presentation that you gave was right on. Slow it down and do it for people who don't have experience with the terminology or the original language, the bylaws. I remember when they were introduced, we went over it line by line. Yes, they made a lot of sense. And I think that people need this. Jonathan was absolutely correct. You should make it available to every single member. and an email blast should go out to everybody on email. Now, we have a problem because a lot of our members, I suspect, are not on email. We'll have to pay for postage. But at some point, we must notify every member of what's going on. Second step is what to do about it. Learn their own station's makeup and who to talk to that's going to make a problem and doesn't want their members to understand what's going on. And they don't want to understand why it's bad for them and bad for us. So I would like us to think about that maybe for a few minutes. If anybody agrees or disagrees, I'd like to hear why. Thank you.
All right. Well, I can certainly go back through what I just did and do it slower. And, and perhaps, you know, I will do that, so that we get it recorded. And I certainly can go through it slower and, do that well. Daryl, your hand is up. Go on. Daryl, you want to unmute?
Apologize for the delay. It takes me a while to work this thing. Oh, I would like to insert that. What is the responsibility of the Pacifica National Board? Who was responsible for losing the CPB money? Who signed the contract with the Empire State Building? I mean, help me out. I don't understand that.
All right. Carolyn, raise your hand. Okay. All right, let me start again and let me go slower and I'll talk about all this. Yeah, go on, John.
You know, the one thing, one sentence, I think everybody, what they said was great and what you're doing with the showing everyone the bylaws and all. I think that one sentence that you have to go over maybe and say it 50 times is voting in secret. You do not vote in secret in a public station. And maybe we will have to think about taking over the station because Pacifica wants to shut down maybe all the stations. So I think we're all going to have to get together to fight Pacifica.
All right. What I'm going to, yeah, go on, Denise.
First, I want to say, agree with Carolyn. I got kicked off, so I don't know what the other lady said, but she sounded real interesting towards the end. No, there should never be a secret when it's a public situation. To show you how simplistic and how it can be done, it's not really going to be like rocket science. We just got to decide to start to make the moves that's needed. Jonathan Markowitz, yes, he yelled and screamed and was kind of unpleasant. But you see, in the blink of an eye, the meeting is being streamed. Voila. You know, I mean, it always makes me smile. It really encourages me to say, this can be done. This can be done. You spoke about our budget in New York. We haven't gotten CPB money in I don't know how long. That's when we really got into trouble. We're losing. We're forgetting. Okay, we're not going to be able to get it now. But that's the fact of the situation, and people are getting confused about how we got into the hole in the first place.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and along with the COVID. But so we need more listeners, right? As Carolyn said, we need to notify the listeners of what's going on. Can we get a card put on WBAI about what's happening with our voting rights, or word it in such a way that we have meetings to explain how our radio station is run, you know, through different bylaws. And right now we're having some challenges, and maybe just, you know, make a little card with when we're going to be discussing this. Can we see, this will be a way for us to see where people stand at. If we can get a card to introduce this particular kind of activity, it will let us know a lot about where people stand at who are going to be in great areas of responsibility. So let's try to see if we can get a card, like within a couple of days. It'll be a yes or a no, but it will give us information that we need now. We need to know where people stand at. Elle had spoke about she doesn't know what why she's still supporting WBAI or something to that extent. Elle listens to Kathy Davis' show. This woman comes out with stuff that you're not going to hear any place else. We have other producers just like that. You turn on the average commercial media, you're not going to get squat. You just don't know what the hell is going on, you know, except for Red Balloons being sold at, what is it, PC Richards. So I'm just joking, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You turn on WBAI, at least you get an idea. This is what we are striving for, to get information so that we can run our lives with some kind of sense. So we want to get in touch with the library. They've been rather successful. They've come on WBAI several times. I think it's the president, acting president of the public library in New York. They were somewhat successful. I think we should sit down with them. I mean, these are people who have are friends of WBAI who have come on our air and pleaded their challenges, and we've supported them with giving them airplay. I believe there are council persons. There's one that's a senior citizen. I think her name is Liz Kluger. Let's get with this system. I mean, why? It's not that crazy. It really isn't. It seems like it is. People are trying to make us think it is, but it's not. And yes, we can get some funds from other places. We could approach a couple of unions that someone else did not. Local 153, Local 6, there are a lot of different unions. You know what I'm saying? In order to keep the air, the media running for listener-sponsored media. And it's not only us, it's 13, it's all of them. I'm not even going to talk about the FCC nonsense. I'm talking about this particular media, this entity, the listener-sponsored media, is what is really needed. And you have the information, as Carolyn says, find a very simplistic way to explain that people are trying to take your civil rights as a constituent and a part, you know, and an investor in the media that we are currently fighting for, WBAI. You know, just sit down maybe with Carolyn. She might be able to make it, get a couple of people together and kind of brainstorm to see how you're going to phrase it. It should be maybe a page and a half or two pages, both sides. It sounds strange, old school paper, pen and paper, you know, let person read it. They may not get it the first time, they read it again, and then see if we can get a card. Let's try to do things within this week that are feasible. It's going to be yes or no. Simple as that, yes or no. Just like this brother came on, Jonathan Markowitz, and he screamed and carried on. But he was correct. He was frustrated because we're making it harder than it needs to be.
Yeah. No, you're right. Well, he knows me well, so he can get away with that.
He loves you. No, it's not a get away with. He's a brother who cares. He loves us. Yeah. We love him. Right. And when you love people and you love something, you get your back up on it. You know what I mean?
No, you know. You're
so
right.
Can we try to see if we can get a card? Can we, the next activity that we have seen, it'll be yes or no.
Well,
you said that you're going to do another town hall meeting. See if we can get a card for it.
All right. Well,
or somebody else, if it will be a conflict of interest for you. Then see if somebody else can approach him with it.
All right. Well, I think that the issue of doing town hall meetings where other LSB members are participating and we're aiming at all the listener stations. Because remember, we have a lot of freedom
in
New York. We have a lot of freedom in New York that some of these other stations don't have. For example,
that's all the more reason why we should do it. Be the ones to do it.
No, you're right. No, you're right, Denise. You're 100% right. And
we're not going to have it either if we keep on sitting on our hands.
No, you're right about that too.
Because they come that up with a galloping leap, my dear.
No, exactly.
Let me get off. I'm going to be quiet. Let other people go ahead.
Right. Well, I see before I bring you on, Carolyn, 4759.
Yes.
Is that you, L?
No, it's Tom.
Oh, go on, Tom. Go on.
Thank you. the thing is, I think this, as information is sent out from the BAI, like with the newsletter, that medium can be used to communicate an email out to every member with an email address, possibly with an attachment that has an audio attachment, has the explanation of what they're attempting to do and their motivation behind it. that could probably be done very inexpensively. The second thing I wanted to ask, what's going on simultaneously, they're saying from the 1st of June 2024 to the 30th of June, they're having a nominating process for the LSPs. What happens if nobody is nominated nationwide? How are they going to have an election if nobody's nominated? Isn't somebody going to get on this?
Well, it's very important for people to run. And yes, indeed, this has caused a little bit of energy directed at these issues, which are totally legitimate. Yes, we're going to have to abruptly shift into the election process this week. So now let me, before I do this, Carolyn, let me talk a little bit about the CPB issue. I'm very familiar with that. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, at one point, they were receiving, and there are other people on this phone call, and, you know, Richard Uzel's on the call. He's a director. Carolyn has been a director. They were around for a long time. Jim Sagerton's on the phone call. There are other people on the phone, but let me just focus on the CPB issue. We, at one point, were getting throughout the whole network about $1.2 million, all the stations combined. New York was receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars. In fact, we got money to improve our master control when we were at 505 8th Avenue a long time ago. So the CPB money is there. And is something that, unfortunately, the ball was dropped for a number of reasons. One reason, and again, we have to get back to, and this is my opinion only, why we even have this New Day phenomenon. The situation in the network has been a downward situation fiscally for 20 years. And people got tired of it, and they decided they wanted to solve it with their solution, which is a centralized authority that will be top down and will essentially negate the reforms that were fought for 10, 15 years. That's my assessment. And they also are concerned over the fact that some stations, us in that mix, have not paid our fair share of central services. Now, it's not true that we haven't. There's been lots of money that's went to the national. There's BeQuest that have gone to the national. There's a BeQuest. There's at least almost $400,000 in BeQuest waiting to be picked up in New York that someone's going to get. So, but the main problem is that there has never been this attention to how do we get more people listening to our signal as the main focus of energy for the past 20 to 25 years. Now, why that's important with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting? Because this Corporation for Public Broadcasting requires certain levels of Nielsen ratings for each station. They have to show, people can scream and bitch all they want about the Nielsen ratings, but they base their assessment on, is this radio station serving the community it's in or not, based on the Nielsen ratings. And that is something that is one factor that has to be done. So in other words, if we apply for the Nielsen ratings, for the CPB money, we have to have at least a year or two of books from the Nielsen, from the Radio Research Corporation, that is where the non-commercial radio stations in the United States get their Nielsen ratings. That's going to cost easily $30,000 to $60,000. We owe them $30,000 right now. That'll cost easily $30,000 to $50,000. That's one issue. The other issue is the audits. We have been behind on the audits. We have to have AFRs, audit, specialized audits that are required to get CPB money, and all the stations have to be in compliance with that. We are 2 years behind in having that. So when we had a big argument to apply to the CPB, when I first came on the national board, a lot of people raised all the legitimate questions about, we got a letter from them in 2013 saying you cannot apply again unless you address certain issues. And those issues, you know, that requires a lot of energy and a lot of work to figure out what those issues are. They include problems that they had with how money was being raised through New York with David Rothenberg, for example. That was in the Inspector General report. I believe that it was cured as a problem. But there's all these issues that have to do with that. They also would complain about our governance structure. They'd say we're over-governed. There's all these issues that have to be worked out with the CPB. Plus, we have to have stability and have audits at least 2 years in a row, or a year in a row, and even to begin to apply to them. We have to have a compliance system in place for about a year before we even apply to them. Now, the problem with that, of course, is we have this money owed with the FJC loan, which was taken out to deal with the backlog of money owed to the Empire State Building. That caused a tremendous amount of resentment in the network. Some people felt that we should have been swapped or sold at that time when that happened. That was a big division in the board. And again, those who feel that we should have been swapped or sold are some of the people, in my opinion, that have formed part of the New Day tendency. They were in reaction to this, frankly, horrible financial situation, which is a completely rational response. My problem with their response is that, and I don't agree with the issue of the Democratic Party. I'm not in that camp. Some people feel that way. I don't. I do think, though, that is a problem that has to be solved. And that requires a stability of all the stations, not the situation we're going through right now where, you know, we're going off a cliff financially here in New York. Now, let me get back to the question of what was raised beforehand that was lost, and hopefully I can simplify this. The main issue with the bylaws changes coming on now is I would argue you have to go to Article 17, Section 3 of the bylaws. These article changes or bylaws changes that are being argued right now negate the will of the voters who are listener members. The bylaw that's up to be put through all the different LSBs is one that essentially calls for the elimination of a runners-up list as the main category to replace people when they are deciding to leave the local station boards. What is being proposed is that the majority of the members of the local station board, instead of paying attention to the list that was created by a voting process, they can either pay attention to that voting process or ignore it in terms of selecting who they want. And that is a recipe for basically having the majority of the board at any station at that time select who they want to have replace somebody. And that is basically they're not going to want to put somebody who disagrees with them. So it's perfectly understandable that they would want to put somebody who agrees with them. And that is essentially, I'd again refer to James Madison of Federalist 51, the tyranny of the majority is what he argued about when the same kind of debates were going on in the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia in the 1780s in the United States. Now, the other issue is that they put forth 9 bylaws provisions that also would negate the ability of voters to have a will in exerting themselves as to how the governance of Pacifica occurs. And they want to limit the size of the boards. They want to allow a ED to choose who the GM and PD are of a station. That is new. That is a centralizing tendency that, you know, again, is something that they feel is necessary for whatever reason they feel. And that, of course, is returned back, as far as I'm concerned, to the whole system that we fought against for 15 years to overthrow and replace with a more democratically based system. Now, the problem with the democratically based system is that it has to also produce sound fiscal policy. In other words, we can't allow a situation which has happened where the stations just simply spin out of control and that people take advantage of the democracy, end quotes, to basically allow a station to survive or exist, to having to essentially borrow money from other stations that don't have the money to give them. And that's where the resentment, I believe, has caused. So that's a situation we have to confront squarely in New York, squarely in all the stations, but especially in New York, and have to solve as a problem so it doesn't occur again, which means we have to have a station that can pay its bills and not have to be perpetually in a deficit, which is what has also led to this fractious situation where we're in right now. Now, finally, bylaws call very clearly that if a general manager is to be fired, the local station board has to be consulted with that. The local station board in New York was not consulted when, whatever the outcome, whatever wording you want to use, whether they to be immediately fired, put on administrative leave, none of us in New York were consulted over our opinion of the efficacy of Bertold Reimers as general manager or Linda Perry Barr as when the decision was made to, quote, let them go and whatever situation they're in right now, administrative leave, occur. None of us were consulted with that. And we were then confronted with a situation which is essentially a fait accompli, which is in line with the kind of arguments being made in that New Day proposal in the bylaw changes that allows the executive director to choose who she wants or he wants to be in power. We're essentially given that as a diktat, and that is something we spent too long fighting to not have repeated. So that choice, as far as I was concerned and others are concerned, is a direct violation of the bylaws and essentially exposes the foundation to financial problems which are not needed at this point. It's an abrogation of the fiduciary responsibilities of those of us on the national board by allowing that kind of situation to expose us to legal action. And that is my opinion. All right, Carolyn, go on.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, for that explanation. I'm looking at your note, however, in the whiteboard, and it points out things that are happening within days, it seems, or weeks. And it's, I feel I'm Alice in Wonderland here. I've got two worlds going. The one facing us immediately on the screen and the one you're describing, the background of all this.
It's I'm not describing that. Someone else is.
Well, it's, oh, it's not yours?
No, it's probably, I don't know, it's probably,
Jim Sagerton, perhaps.
Probably Jim Sagerton, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, the point is that, he's right. We have an immediate, problem. Weeks, months, more likely weeks, and we really have to do something about that, and we have to address that issue. I'm of a point to look at the new executive director, assume that she really doesn't understand what she's doing, and get some legal restraints on her until she can learn to comply with the bylaws. And that sounds harsh, but in fact, there we are. We're working with people who are deliberately or ignorantly, whatever, defying the bylaws, right down to the attempt to destroy our voting system and everything else that was so carefully done. So do we want to deal with that immediate problem, or do we want to just think as if we had all the time in the world, which we don't, and we don't have money? But I think I'm very disturbed that the ED would do some of the things that she has done, evident, not in ignorance, simply blowing it by us, hoping that nobody notices. And I think I would like to have some thoughts on people on the list about how we address that particular issue, which is immediate. Because if in fact things go out as Jim describes here, that the board is going to decide what needs a member's vote and what doesn't, that'll be the end of it, because we won't have any say. We need to get something out to the members before that happens. And that means an email blast. If we can't have the, evidently from what I read, we're not allowed to use the radio for this. So we need to get a short blast out to every single member and explain the issue and send them to a website, which we, you, I will help develop in the next week, where they can find a complete description and discussion of the issues at hand. I don't think we have much time to consider down the road if, in fact, these things go through. Then we have to undo a whole mess. So we could either move to remove the EJ, which I think would be appropriate at this point. I hate to admit it, but I don't see that we have an ally in equitable treatment of all the issues here. We have someone who has sided with the group that's decided to break up the network. And somewhere we have to deal with this directly and legally, perhaps.
All right. Well, and the Jim who's putting, I don't even know who this Jim is, who's putting this up, you know, but anyway, go on, Sagerton.
Yeah, it is not me who's putting anything up. And I do notice that my screen is flashing back and forth, which is something I'm not doing. So I'm concerned
about it. So Jim's iPad. Do we know who that is?
No, we
don't. James?
Yeah.
I believe, Richard Yuzel had put something up.
Okay,
maybe he was cool. Trying out a function, not knowing what he was doing.
A notebook. He was putting
up
a notebook.
Yeah, no, it was a sketch pad.
Yeah. Anyway, it's all
thank you, Richard.
But I don't know who Jim is, and, thank you. I guess who knows? We always get people come in there who decide to put stuff in the chat. Go on, Jim.
Okay, so thank you, everyone who's spoken and everyone for being here. I agree with some of what Carolyn was just saying, and it's a good tie-in to what I'm going to try to say. And that is, yeah, we have long-term problems. We have a long history of difficulties that led us to this point. But what we have now are bylaws amendments that are being proposed illegally. What we had with Bertel and Linda is that they were fired illegally and replaced. Not the hiring of an interim GM is the function of the executive director, but the way that they went about removing Linda and Bertel was illegal. The problem is we have a board that has a super majority. They have an overwhelming dominance on the board, largely because of some things that were done that were illegal. Not completely, but, for example, two PMB directors from LA are now on the board who should not be, because nine members of the KPFK LSB were removed en masse by the New Day people. I'll say again, they don't like being called New Day, but that's a shorthand that we've adopted to name the people who vote together as a block on the PNB. They removed nine members of their LSB on trumped up reasons that was a violation of the bylaws. So the situation here is that, as we know in life, Pete, you have rights, but if you don't stand up to protect your rights, people will walk over your rights all day long, and you will be helpless if you can't defend yourself. So what I'm trying to get to right now is what we need, because these things are being done illegally. We can't wait for an election that won't produce new members until January of next year. We need to act now, as Carolyn was saying, and therefore we're going to need a lawyer. We have a dearth of funds. We don't have, you know, we don't have a lot of deep pockets among us, but we need to start a fund, a legal fund, if we're going to defend ourselves. There are lawyers among us. There are members of this organization that are lawyers. Perhaps we could get some of them together who could provide some services, some legal services to us. But the main thing is we're going to need a lawyer, at least one lawyer who will take this on, and we're going to need money to pay that person unless we can find a volunteer. There are some activities behind the scenes now where certain donors who may have the resources and be willing to put them at our disposal are being talked to, But so far as I know, no one has stepped up to provide a lawyer. No lawyer has volunteered. No fund has been created to obtain a lawyer. But that's what we're going to need. If we're going to stop this supermajority on the board from wholesale, not only violating the bylaws, but now supposing illegally to change the bylaws, we have to defend ourselves, and we're going to need to go into court and get a temporary restraining order that could then become a permanent injunction. So that's where we are. And, that's the thing that we need to focus on. We can analyze and talk about this all day long. We do need to do that so that we bring people to a level of understanding where they're willing to commit to this fight. But, really what we need quickly is a lawyer and to get a TRO and a temporary restraining order. And, a legal representation. That's all I have for now. Thanks.
All right, Jack.
James Sagerton, could you please clarify? There's a chat going on, an argument about what's legal and what's illegal about what's happening. I believe that the California not-for-profit laws are being broken because we're breaking our bylaws.
That's correct.
Is there anything else about what's legal? Because they could say, oh, well, you know, you broke those FCC regulations and did this and this and this. Like, Henley keeps repeating, Mr. Henley, let's give everybody the proper respect. Bob Henley keeps repeating that there was a pattern in practice. He seems to be exaggerating something that I know occurred but didn't occur in the way in which he's exaggerating it. And then I think the last thing to say is that when you break rules and you rectify them or you – and this is the point I would make to what Jim was saying before. There is a massive failure on the part of the people that operate this foundation for 20 years to function like they care about what they own. No offense, Pacifica, but I hope you're listening. Thank you, James.
Well, if I could respond to what you've said, Jack.
Legal versus illegal. First, yes. What's that?
Whatever justifications they try to find for what they've done, they didn't follow the process. Pacifica has a legal process. It's called the bylaws. California law says that you have to follow your own bylaws. You can't just go off and ignore your own bylaws because then you're out of control and your actions are illegal. So we have to follow the bylaws in what we do. So we'll have to, stand up in court to enforce the bylaws of the organization. That's what it's about.
All right, Daryl. Daryl, you need to unmute. Daryl? Daryl, you need to unmute.
Hello?
Who's that? Go on. Go on, Elle.
I beg your pardon?
You wanted to say something? Go on.
No, I did not raise my hand.
Okay.
I thought I heard.
Go on. You raise your hand. Go on, Daryl.
Okay. Although it's really interesting, you know, doing this dance with New Day, is there any way that we could focus on, A, informing the listenership to, A, what their duty is in voting in this election? Because I believe the last election, the listenership voted for the bylaws change. And if it wasn't for the staff, New Day would have already been victorious in this. Is that correct?
Jim, is that your understanding?
Sorry, what was the question, Daryl?
The last bylaws change election. Is it true that the listenership voted for the change?
The listenership at three of the stations voted for the change. The West Coast or the Western stations, Texas, LA, and Berkeley. But there's a requirement when you have two classes of members being staff and listeners, that when changes affect them differently, they have to have an election in each class of members. In other words, the listeners had an election and the staff had an election, and in the staff election, the bylaws failed and they had to win in both elections. So it is correct that a majority of the listeners voted for the bylaws changes, but the majority of the staff did not. And so therefore the bylaws failed. Now there were two bylaws referenda. What I'm talking about was the last one. I must say my memory is failing me at the moment about how the first one ended, but they were defeated. The bylaws proposals were defeated.
Well, James, once again, if you're focusing on the listenership, I would suggest that had the listeners been better informed, that wouldn't have happened. They would have rejected the bylaws changes along with the staff. And so what I'm suggesting is that we need to do outreach to our listenership and make them aware of all the vagaries that are going on in the context that only the money's going to count in the end. The reason the New Day is in a great situation is because if they bankrupt Pacifica Foundation, then they get the money. We're in a really, I'm suggesting that the people who want to maintain WBAI as a platform for informing people how to better their lives are in a negative situation because, one, the Pacifica National Board has failed to ever live up to anything other than perhaps give some money to develop the 28 million people feel that we have. Where's the program? What do you call it? The program? A development director. The foundation should have a development director in every station that the foundation pays or has an arrangement with. I mean, I'm attempting to understand, other than asking for money, what the purpose of the board is, so then they hold the license. Can someone help me with that?
I'm sorry, what was the question? What's the purpose of the board?
What has the Pacifica Foundation Board of Directors done to help the stations develop the skills to bring in more listeners and therefore more money?
Well, unfortunately, this network is set up in the manner of silos. Each station operates on its own, and there is no the national office does not provide a development director for each station. Each station is supposed to provide its own functions of that sort. And when a station gets into financial trouble and they don't have the wherewithal to provide for such a thing, then that station doesn't get one. And there is no national development director, so there is no resource from the national office to provide such a service. Now, you know, back in the day when, as Jim points out, we had 100,000 members and we were flush with cash, these things were not so much of a problem. Not just because of programming or because of bad management or whatever, but because of changes in the radio industry. Radio is been in decline. You know, first there was television or movies, and then there was television. Excuse me. And now there's the internet. People are not listening to radio the way they used to. We don't sit around the radio in the living room and listen for an hour to a program, which is the way Pacifica is set up. People use the radio now when they're in their cars. They use it for news headlines, for sports headlines, for weather, traffic. So first of all, we need to adapt to the new way that people are using radio, but, we have to realize that all of our stations are on the same curve. Some of the stations are ahead, some are behind, but every station, including KPFA, has lost membership, has lost listeners. So, you know, these systemic problems are very difficult. The problems that we're talking about here tonight, that's an emergency, are the illegal changes that they're trying to put forward. And I see that there are some ignorant people in the chat who are probably from KPFA or, you know, the group that we are, again, what we call the New Day group, who are saying, oh, bylaws are not laws and this is all bullshit. No. California Corporation Code is a law, and it governs the way foundations such as Pacifica are run. And when you don't follow your own bylaws, you are breaking the law, the California Corporation's Code. So let's be clear. That's why you go to court when the bylaws are broken, to enforce them and prevent this kind of illegal activity. I'll say it again. Unless you do that, unless you're willing and able to do that, people will run over your rights all day long. And we will lose this radio station. And for all we know, we'll lose the entire network. One of the strategies of the people, again, that we are calling New Day as a handle, one of their strategies in the past was to bankrupt the network. They actually were openly advocating that we go into bankruptcy with the idea that the bankruptcy court would possibly sell WBAI, which was the most valuable asset, and provide tens of millions of dollars for the rest of the stations to bolster their own operations. So,
and someone put that in the chat, by the way.
Pardon me?
Someone put that in the chat, early in the chat. I don't have that anymore because I was thrown out. But someone put in about bankruptcy. And I countered with bankruptcy means the sale of WBAI, and we have to then go on an internet strategy after we buy the name WBAI. So, I mean, what I'm asking is, once again, where is the Pacifica National Board? What if it isn't assisting the five stations in a survival mode? You just told me that radio has changed since 1960. Are you the only one on the board who knows that?
Oh, not at all.
No,
okay,
I think.
So what's the deal?
All right, Richard, Daryl, I think
I'll
that.
I'll stop.
All right. Everybody here knows that radio has changed dramatically and that, for example, only if you look at data about how Americans get their news, it's extremely fragmented. And the kind of radio station that WBAI falls in as a category, only 3% of Americans get their news from this kind of a radio station. We're talking about public radio, stations, and they sort of have a category. We look at surveys that are done this year, by the way, that talk about that. So that's a big decline in general from what it used to be. And I think that everybody on the national board, on the local board, in the producer staffs, all of them know that they need to integrate themselves into the news, social media technology, et cetera. The problem is the lack of resources. That's the big problem. Now, the person here asked, yes, that it's change is bad, except you state the radio world has changed. But, of course, any change by Pacifica must be opposed. I'm not opposed to change in Pacifica. I'm opposed to a disempowerment of the listener members. That's something we fought hard for. What I am wanting to see revolutionary change is how we broadcast. I want us to be integrated into all those kind of new measures. And I've been arguing that since 2000. So, and I unfortunately have been proven right as far as I'm concerned because of all the changes that have gone on in the media landscape. And right now, analog radio did not grow after the pandemic. It has declined in audience around the country. In general, about 10% less people are listening to analog radio. So that's not to say it's disappeared. but that's to say that it has to change as form, not in terms of these ridiculous arguments about who's governing this and governing that, because most of the listeners out there look at the low turnouts we have in these elections. They're as bad as primaries in regular elections in the United States. People are only interested in what they hear on the air mainly. And that to me is where we're falling short in terms of doing something to provide a, you know, we can say everything, everybody loves our schedule here in New York. Fine. I have no problem with having all these different kinds of shows, but do people support it with their pocketbooks? They don't. And that's the problem. That's a problem that has to be solved. And I don't pretend to have easy answers to that. All right. 917-301-279. You go on. You're up.
1279, you said, Jim?
That's you, right? That's you, Neil?
Yeah. Listen, in bankruptcy court is not required to get top dollar for the assets that are in bankruptcy. So, you know, it'll go up for an auction or something, and everybody in an auction wants to get everything cheap. So in bankruptcy, they're not going to get Pacific. The court's not going to get a lot of money for any of the stations. And in terms of what's going on with the illegalities, Mr. Sagerton is correct. We do need to get a lawyer. That has to be like the first step that has to be done. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I'll call in user two.
Well, this is Jonathan Markowitz calling, speaking again. I've been sitting here listening.
You're now on the stream, Jonathan. Go on, man. Go on, Jonathan. You just have to unmute, Jonathan. Go on.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. Well, response to Sagerton's correct statements, Jim Sagerton's. I mean, there was an attempt by illegally removed KPFK LSB chair Ziri Rideau. She filed suit against the New Day Pacifica faction for violating the 6-year term out limit of LSB members, so-called delegates. These are actually boards. Yeah, this was something that was added to our original bylaws. And I don't remember it at the time, but it's an absolute aberration of what of the principle of democracy here. These are real boards. They only have one power. So they do exist as an entity. They're not just delegates to the national board. That's one of their things, but they are board members. They are real boards that are elected by listeners and regrettably by staff, something we tried to prevent happening. So Ziri Rideau did file suit. I don't remember any of you jumping in any way, shape, or form. Maybe you were behind the scenes. So in answer to Sagerton's statements, which are correct, this is about 1 year to 2-3 years too late. It's not incorrect. That's exactly what has to happen. These are complicated issues for even the diehard listeners, those who were involved in democratizing Pacifica to begin with. I go back to 1997, spent pretty much 6 years of my life trying to save this network from what at that time was the threat of selling the New York license. And when it was worth over $300 million, believe me, with a 10-person board of directors, just imagine how much money would have gone into each of those members' pockets. So we stopped that, not directly, by intimidation, I might add, probably. But the fact of the matter is there aren't any attorneys who understand this situation. even if we had the money. So, you know, as far as who has money, or, you know, you're intimating that there's some people that are possibly being lined up, you know, waiting for what? I don't know. Anybody who has the money, first of all, if they haven't been listening to Pacifica for decades and decades, and they don't understand why we even, you know, quote, democratized the bylaws to have elected local station board members who then elect their members to the national board. I mean, it's a cockamamie structure. I don't know how unique it is in the annals of nonprofits, but I, you know, Pacifica certainly is unique, but it has lost its heritage, especially with the New Day Pacifica cabal. And, okay. And I want to reiterate their intention to control all content on this network and eliminate any memory of Pacifica ever being mentioned as free speech radio. That's their agenda. And believe me, any of those community radio stations that are going to sign up and become part of Pacifica thinking they're going to be part of some wonderful thing are going to regret it in the affiliates. The pseudo affiliates, that wonderful sounding meme.
So, thank you, Johnson.
Thank you, Jim. But you should have been raising these important points about two and a half years ago. I mean, New Day has done nothing but illegalities nonstop, and then claiming we're the ones doing what they're doing. It's unbelievable. So what is this really?
Well, you're
it's a mind fuck. It's a mind fuck. There's the listeners. Nobody outside of a small core of listeners in the history of Pacifica could even understand what's going on at this point. But certainly, if you want to really educate the listenership now, how? How are you going to reach them?
Great. This is the best guy.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's all true, Jonathan. And, you know, to reach out to them, I mean, actually in a different conversation, one of the, people on the phone call, suggested us using Instagram, which I thought was brilliant. And then it made me think about using Twitter, which is equally brilliant because Twitter can reach out to the listeners in ways that, one cannot. I mean, I've watched people develop Twitter accounts that are gigantic. YouTube, I mean, YouTube's a little more technically challenging, but we can certainly set up a Twitter Instagram account. I don't know how to do an Instagram account. I do know how to do a Twitter account. But all those things can be done and probably will be done as we develop this whole issue. But again, the question of how to stabilize the situation, how to make sure that we don't go back into the financial mess that created this. Again, I go back. That's the part of me that gets historically materialist. That kind of question. You know, paying bills.
Okay. Well, Jim, I forgot to mention something here. And that is the fact is that you need to, make sure that Otis is going to post the audio of this meeting, expletives as included on, from yours truly. Okay.
KTX.org,
because you need to post this.
People can
hear Jim Sagerton say what he was saying among your ideas, but you think you're going to solve this financial rut that has been generated very, very carefully over the last 15, 20 years? I don't think so.
Well, no, I don't.
I mean, if you could think you can generate knowledge about what Pacifica was, is, should have been on Twitter, this is a totally new generation.
Well, again,
most listeners don't even know who Lewis Hill was.
All right. Well, that's true, Jonathan. And those kind of things are important. But again, you know, most people, like I go up to the demonstrations at Columbia University. And I remember at one of the demonstrations before they built the encampment, I pulled out my Pacifica press card, and they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. You know, so that shows you, and we're dealing there with young kids who are motivated by this terrible war in the Middle East, who are out there demonstrating all the time, and they don't know. And what a sharp contrast that was to what would have happened in 1966 or 1967 in New York if somebody had pulled out a WBI press pass, where at that time it's estimated, and I have no idea where these guys got these numbers, that 300,000 to 500,000 people were listening each day to WBI in New York.
Jim, you're making my point. Look, Sagerton's advice is the only advice that's possible to save this network. Legally, there has to be a restraining order immediately clamped down on Pacific, and there's probably about 10 different issues, right, at least. And so that's the only hope we have at this point.
Right.
You're thinking about how we're going to educate our society when each listenership only has maybe 3 or 4 or 5 thousand people listening now? This is absurd.
Well, it's all right. All right. Well, I hear you.
Look, Sagerton's advice is the only one.
Right.
So figure out how we're going to afford to hire any attorney that can sort through all of this. These illegalities and put something together quick. But guess what? It's LA County.
Right.
That's the jurisdiction.
Right. And that.
So I didn't see any of you at Zuri's court hearings. Were there.
Well, anyway.
Let me tell you something. You better act fast.
Jonathan.
Talking about it's over already. So, thank you. I'm now going to put a mute on. Whether I stay on the line, you've got to get Otis to post this immediately.
All right,
after this meeting's concluded. Thank you.
All right, fine. And just people are on the case. Let's put it that way, okay? People are on the case over what you're talking about. All right? That's all I want to say. But people are on the case on that. Now, let me just look at some of these messages before I bring you back on. The bankruptcy issue, that's interesting. The guy quoted me. That's amusing. Some comment I made in the past. Then the question, talk about unelected control. None of the debtors answered anyone at Pacifica. Never stand for election. Unless the debt is resolved, none of us have any say in Pacifica's future. You're right, 100% S. These kind of issues have to be confronted, and they never are. Here's a summary. Chapter 11. Now, the question of Chapter 11, and Jim can chime in on this. We had lawyers in open session. If I recall, those guys were in open session in some cases, and they basically said
bankruptcy experts advise us not to go.
And they were in open session, if I recall, right?
Yes, they were.
And they basically said, you're a bunch of idiots if you go to bankruptcy right now. And that was two lawyers, one of whom was chosen by the New Day people. And he was the first guy off the block. And he basically said, you guys are idiots. You got lots of options before you go into bankruptcy. So, again, the bankruptcy issue gets interrelated to the swap or sell the signal issue. Because I've heard too much. Look, I don't want to hear the BS. I've listened to people in the Bay Area talk to me over the past 12 years about this. And yeah, they say, look, you guys can't make your nut in New York. You guys can't, sustain the low budget you have. Why should you remain the way you are? And, you know, they're right. We shouldn't remain the way we are. We should change the way we are. We should change so we have an impact. And that doesn't mean watering it down. That doesn't mean, sidelining radical voices. We just have to figure out a way to have a mass impact on the metro area we're in. And that goes for all the goddamn stations, by the way, because I know the stats of all the stations. And they're not, no one can, I applaud what happened out in Texas. They've raised their market share 300% in the past couple of years. Good for that. LA has a tough fight, very tough fight. They've got it from point one to point two, but it still should be higher than that because LA used to be one of the largest paid subscriber bases. I think it was 30,000 or something at one point. And KPFA, interesting, unique situation. They're very solid. in their own way. But the issue of fighting with them all the time is ridiculous. This is ridiculous waste of time and energy. I'd rather be figuring out how to handle this nutty situation that's going on in the country right now that we're experiencing with, you know, frankly, neo-fascism on the march. That to me is more important than some of this bullshit, but that's my opinion. And finally, you know, I think that the stations can all recover. And yeah, we're going to have to deal with how we're going to have to work with this new situation. It's not pleasant. It was imposed on us. It was something that, you know, it doesn't surprise me that it happened, frankly. But I wasn't happy that it happened the way it did, with basically no consultation for anybody locally, because they figured probably we wouldn't agree with them. And they're right. So that's why they decided to go to the board and get authority and jump over the local station board. And that is also in reinforcing the bylaws changes that they want. And I'll put them back up again so people can listen to them once more, because that's what we're dealing with. The question is centralizing, but again, the situation also cannot be accompanied with just simply, okay, these guys are a bunch of undemocratic SOBs, blah, 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 blah. And then we still allow the fiscal irresponsible situation to continue. That doesn't work. That ain't going to work. Go on, Daryl.
Thank you, Jim. I was just looking in the chat, and there's all the doom and gloom and stuff. And the answer is the listener, right? The answer is you get the listener, the one that you haven't gotten yet, the one who stumbles onto the station by accident and has the money. I find it really interesting. We're on a station that oftentimes play, well, that has a regular program with Richard Wolf and oftentimes, Michael Hudson comes on and some other folks. And yet you listen to these meetings and where is the economic answer? The folks who have been in the trenches the longest, who have gotten us to this point, and you still are able to speak. They're worn out, they're burnt out, they're angry, they're afraid it'll go away and they won't have anything. And yet, who produces and makes most readily personal developed programming that you will find almost nowhere else? Even it's hard to find on the internet. So what I'm saying is that as we're preparing to find the lawyers, we need $15 million. And it sounds, quote, like a lot when you've never raised more than $100,000. But the first seven billionaires in the United States of America have a net worth of $1 trillion. The money is there. There has to be a way. And rather than continuing to punch at one another, why don't we do an outreach to our listeners to talk to one another, to listen to the station, to get their friends to listen to the station, and get the money. The money is there. Okay, I know this sounds, because you've all heard it before, but I raised $64 for WBAI last year by searching for using a platform that provided a penny for the station every time I did a search. You're going to tell me that in a city of 8 million, right, with a school system of 1 million, and I'm trying to figure out how we do outreach to colleges, the money is there. You can stimulate and encourage the population to be sane if we would stop looking at the past and direct the little capital that they allow us to have to make our quote unquote representative, whether they be on the Pacific and National Board or whether they be in Congress, represent us, or else we won't give them our labor.
All right. Let me address that. First of all, I think Daryl at the King Advisory Board meeting, you should go in and talk to Hanley about this. All right. Let's go talk to Hanley about this and see if he implements it. Now, in terms of the city council and the congressional delegation in the state of New York and the city of New York, I've always been a strong advocate of us working with the progressive part of the Democratic Party in Capitol Hill. I don't give a damn what people think about this or that, you know, because those people, down the road, good political will help us. And we know what happened the last time we were shut down. The city council, the present mayor of the city of New York, leaped into the situation and defended WBAI. Now, that is a process that must be going on all the time. And frankly, you know, if there were, you know, the conservative Republicans out in Staten Island, you know, people forget that in the past, Pacifica in the 50s used to have Caspar Weinberger on, the Secretary of Defense under Ronald Reagan. So, you know, what the hell? Community radio means everybody. Free speech radio means everybody. And I'm not saying put on, you know, neo-Nazi racists. Although I myself, when I was doing a particular show years ago, I put them on. And then afterwards, I spent an hour talking about what they said because I felt that people should hear abhorrent speech. But then you just don't simply let abhorrent speech be broadcast and then sort of, you know, walk away from it. And that always is one of the problems in Pacifica. And that's gotten people into trouble in the past. We just have to rebirth the entire situation. Now, in terms of big fat cats, yeah, I know people in New York have lots of money, and they would never in a million years give money to Pacifica. Why? Because they don't like what they hear. Now, how do you appeal to people like that? There are lots of people like that in New York. I'll say one thing that we have to address. We have actually seen a reduction of people listening to WBAI since October 7th. The streaming data shows that we've lost about 10 or 15% of our audience. When we analyze the streaming data is the only live data we have that gives us a sense of how many people are listening. And if you know the Arbitron histories of any radio station in the Pacifica network, you can take that streaming data and extrapolate it into the analog data we have in the past. And you sort of can get a rough idea of how many people are listening. In the case of New York, it's usually one person listens on the stream to 10 people listening on analog radio. So you can get an idea of how many people are actually listening. And we need, you know, Gary, one of the reasons why Gary was so popular is at one point he had close to 50 to 75,000 people listening to him in the 1980s per hour. No other station in the network at any amount close to that. And then he had about 15 to 20,000 on average. And I think before he left, he had about 5 or 6,000. That audience has left. And so has a Leonard Lopate audience, which had about 5 or 6,000. The only show that has that amount of people now is Amy. And so we're put in a situation where all our strip shows in the afternoon and in the morning are hurting because of that. The What's Going On slots had, I think Felipe had, when they started it, it grew to about between 6 to 10 to 11,000. It was pretty high. It was higher than Amy. Amy gets about 5,000 an hour. So that morning strip still can be reinforced. But, you know, I do not, I prove me wrong is all I have to say. We cannot depend exclusively on the largesse of labor unions and outside benefactors who are from, foundations or whatnot to sponsor one-offs of national programming. It's great they're doing it, but, you know, prove me wrong. If you can bring $150,000 a month like that into New York on every month, then I'll be wrong. But I just don't think that can happen. Go on, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jim. I wanted to say several things, but I want to respond to what you just said about the $50,000 grant that we're getting for the coverage of the conventions. You know, that is a good thing. We're glad we got that, but that's not money for operations. That's money for programming. And okay, got $50,000 for programming, but you can't really count that towards the budget that we need to operate the station. That's the tower rent. That's the electric bills, the management, all the things that we need to do to run a radio station, the rent for the studio. That's not paid for by $50,000 to go off and do special programming. So where are we going to get the money for the operations? That's the critical thing. And that was coming in not enough. It was at least come to the tune of $2,500 a day. Schedule that's now been abandoned and under the system that Linda and Bertolt had worked out. I also wanted to talk about some of these posts that we have in the chat here. I see one from someone named Jim, and he's talking about why was the Los Angeles abandoned building? It was KPFK's building, and the archives were there, put on sale for $5 million, but then sold for a mere $2 million. Okay, there's a very simple explanation for that. During and after COVID, the Los Angeles real estate, commercial real estate market especially, went to hell. And buildings all over the place lost value. And in addition to that, the building itself, which has been operated and controlled by the same people that are in this New Day faction for the last 20 years, did not properly maintain the building. And the building went to hell. So now sale price of the $2 million also includes the fact that there's another $2 million needed to make the building operable and, you know, to bring it up to where it needs to be a functioning office building. The same thing happened in Texas with the same people that are now using New Day as this shorthand way to refer to them. They ran their building into the ground. They had to get out of that building. The mold was so bad. The maintenance on it was so horrible that they had to go and buy a new building. So, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around in Pacifica. And yeah, the $2 million that we're selling the KPFK building for is less than the $2.6 million FJC loan, which was, incurred to pay the Empire State Building, arrearages. Which was because Ambrose Lane, a now deceased person, who happened to be the executive director at the time, signed the contract for the Empire State Building that the Pacifica NAC board agreed that WBAI should move to. That was not a WBAI decision. It was a national decision made by the national board. So all this talk about WBAI is this and WBAI is that. You have to remember that these stations are run by people that change over the years. There's not one thing called WBAI that remains immutable. And this idea that you're demonizing the call letters of a radio station as some kind of an evil entity is just really bizarre. It's as if we'd said, oh, well, KPFA is the one that lost us our CPP grants, Corporation Broadcasting grants, because they didn't do their audits or they didn't do X, Y, or Z. Or KPFT is to blame for losing the CPB grants because they didn't have enough audience to qualify for the CPB grant. So now we're going to just refer to KPFA as a bad entity or KPFT as a bad entity. No, that's stupid. It's not only stupid, there's malevolence to such kinds of thinking. So yeah, so we have, and then this person also says no directors publicly asked E.D. Wells how this principle can be paid. Well, that topic, when I was on the board, I'm no longer, was publicly mentioned all the time. So I don't know how no one on this board, which again, I say has a supermajority of the New Day people, has, if no director has brought that up since the new board came in, well, that would be on them. And I don't really understand that. But also understand that FJC has been working with us. That deadline has come due in the past and they worked with us. That October 1st deadline existed before. It's been extended. And they're working with us on that. They're not out to destroy us. They are an organization that lends money to organizations like us that are in trouble to try and help them get out of that trouble. Also, the 18% interest rate, FJC had said that, well, we believe that they may be willing to waive that. I don't know if that's actually happened yet because I'm not privy to those conversations at the moment. So this person talking about dereliction on each and every director just, you know, has some information, but is misleading, I believe, probably deliberately. One final thing I want to say, and this is directed to Jonathan, who has been around forever. He was around when the new bylaws were created. He's been involved for years. He's very knowledgeable about these things. But I want to suggest to Jonathan that the Ziri Rideau lawsuit, there were some points in it, but it was based on a false premise, which was that when it was decided by the executive director, by the way, who decided not to hire an election supervisor in the year that we did not have an election when we should have, that decision not to have an election totally screwed up the bylaws. It cost us a lot of money. We had to have litigation over it. It was a bad move. We should have gone ahead and had that election. But the fact that we didn't meant that the premise of the Ziri Rideau lawsuit, that the runners-up should have filled the vacancies that were created when we did not have an election, that solution, which is promoted every time she gets a chance by a certain plaintiff or one of the plaintiffs in that lawsuit, that Ziri Rideau lawsuit, is false. The bylaws say that runners-up fill vacancies that are caused midterm, in between elections, when people die, when they, you know, resign, when they take a political position that disqualifies them from Pacifica, being on the Pacifica LSB. These reasons for people having vacancies occur midterm. There's nothing in the bylaws that says that the runners-up should take seats that are left vacant because there was no election. That itself would have been a violation of the bylaws. So we were in a difficult situation where we're basically violating the prime directive of Pacifica, where we're not having an election, because the whole purpose of the new bylaws was to infuse democracy into this organization. So how do you best do that? Do you best do that by putting that in to vacancies created by not having an election, which would have meant overturning the majorities on several of the boards? In other words,
we could have had an election.
Voters' wishes.
We could have had an election, but not by hiring Renee Penaluso for $70,000 and then having the election done with electronic voting. We could print out paper ballots that are serialized in each signal area and do it by the listeners themselves. That's how we started doing this.
Well, that's an interesting point. I don't think Renee was paid $7,000.
So, you know, what you're doing is you're mixing up, you're just throwing everything into the bathtub and then pulling the drain. And just claiming that, oh, this issue is not correct because we didn't have an election. Well, they didn't want to have an election, and then they blamed us, and everybody was – nobody had any money to pay for an election. And there was no way to guarantee a fair election anyway, because Uday controls who's on the air.
All right, John.
And none of the listeners even knew we were having elections.
All right.
So, I mean, you can go on and make convoluted excuses and say that Ziri Rideau's action – look, I have criticism about – legal actions. I wasn't a plaintiff. I wasn't consulted with the before the attorneys were hired or a plan put together. But I was in support of the lawsuit. She was hard-headed enough to do it. The only person in the network. She deserves some credit for it. However many mistakes she may have made, or her attorneys were not reliable. You know, they had no idea what was going on.
Well, really. I that, and that's a common problem that happens when you bring in outsiders.
Yeah, and it's going to be the same problem with whoever you hire, unless you have just some limited, you know. So, I mean, look, what you're calling for is absolutely the case now.
Jonathan.
Thank you.
All right, go on.
Thing in response to Jonathan, Jim, and that is we did actually have the money for an election that year, but none of us knew it because we were told that a certain $305,000 account at PPFA was a restricted account that was held outside the foundation and it couldn't be touched for the purposes
totally
of
totally illegal.
Pardon me?
Totally illegal.
Right, but
under the bylaws and under the national, under California Corporate Code.
All right, go on.
That money is the foundations, not the stations and not the general managers.
All right.
And certainly not the executive directors. And if he was rewarded, that's why they set that money aside. This is a dirty operation, Sagerton, and you know it.
All right. John, Jim, go finish your comment, Jim.
No, that's not free speech. So we had the money. They did not tell us the truth about the status of that money. And we only learned the status of that money when the federal marshals came and took that money. Ironically, John, $300,000 settlement that he won against in the defamation suit. So we did have for an election. And then later on, it turns out that KPFA for two solid years didn't pay its central services. They could have, but they didn't. And they were allowed to do that. And they were marking down in their books that their central services were paid because they made a decision that they were going to deduct the amount that they were owed from that they had to the national office from their central services and then count their central services as paid. So if KPFA had been paying their central services for those 2 years, we could have had an election. We could have had the audit paid. We could have made a good application to the CPB. All of this didn't happen because we were deliberately being starved of funds within the network.
All right. Go on, Nancy.
Okay. It's very late. I'm happy you're having a town hall meeting, but it should be on the air. There are most of the people, there's 26 at one time and 27, 29 at one time on this call. And there's maybe five people that are maybe not BAI, the rest are. And so you're preaching to the choir, and really the membership is not hearing any of this. So please do like KPFT and KPFK. Their boards voted to have town hall meetings on the air. They have not done it yet, but I mean, you need to do this and not be secretive. You need to let the membership know and hear and ask questions, and stop doing these online town hall meetings. I mean, just ridiculous. You see how important it is to have the support and the education of your membership of your station. So do the next one on the air. Vote it in your LSB. And you can do lots of things to promote your community connection by telling the LSB public comment time. Break it up into three different ones or two different ones, not just one 30-minute session at the end of the LSB meeting. Like what the public has to say is meaningless and it's not needed for voting on something. You know, make them feel that they are important and what they have to say is important. So don't leave those LSB public comment times at the very end of the meeting, like 9:15. Please don't do that anymore. Connect with your audience. That's what I have to say. And then about the, you don't have a programming committee. And I've talked to Dingman. He doesn't want one. He says, well, people will just fight about their favorite show. Okay, that's human. But the purpose is to have a committee made of station members, open to any member of the station, to innovate, improve, help improve. Every program can be improved.
And there are many dedicated people on this call and out there in your station area that want to help. And so let this happen. Let us have a local programming committee. Don't make it a council like it was before, because you're just, you know, you're cutting down the membership of the group by saying you have to have votes. Just leave it open to like a regular committee, a station committee, open to all the members. You got to do this. And it looks like programming is going to be taken over by the hoods. I mean, I heard Mark Van Landuut, a national director, in December meeting of 2022. He said, in the future, all programming will go to one central point, and it will be distributed. You know what that sounds like? NPR. Do we want to be an NPR, just sort of left of center? And I mean, do we want to be like the same in every single station in the country? I mean, you don't want, we are radical. We are different. We don't want to be NPR light either. And it looks like the mob, the majority of three stations, all the K stations, KPFA, Berkeley, KPFA, Los Angeles, KPFT, Texas, have joined forces. They're in a mob now. They're together. They've got the majority of three out of five stations. They can make lots of bylaw changes. In Houston's LSB, we have four progressives. That means 19 majority. In KPFK, they have five progressives. So that, you know, that means, you know, 18 majority. Okay. And then KPFA, you've got eight progressives, eight. And they worked real hard to recruit in events and protest rallies. They worked really hard. They had flyers in their hands. They're doing better, but they're still outnumbered. The two W's, I would say the BAI directors, they all voted against this bylaw amendment change, which, you know, to cancel out the ability of runner-ups getting on the board and leaving it up to the majority. It will empower the majority of the LSB to replace vacancies. It will also do another thing that is not good. You know, ethnic minorities have less advantage in life, have less salary and income. They're usually down in the runner-ups area. And so you're going to, what we're doing is we're cutting off minority participation in the LSBs by reducing the LSBs to half the size, to 12 instead of 24, and then by not allowing runner-ups to come on. And in the KP, in the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee in 2021, Mr. Crozier from KPFT made a motion. Let's not use runner-ups anymore. Let's let the majority, well, let's the LSB decide who replaces the vacancies. And it might be a runner-up, but it might not necessarily be a runner-up. And I'm so sorry to report that three of the BAI director, one director and two LSBs, they voted for it. The one that just spoke recently, he voted for it. Mr. White said, you know, they're losers. Oh, no, he called it bottom of the barrels. That's what your chair of BAI called runners-ups, bottom of the barrel. A director who is the secretary of KPFA LSB, she called them losers. Runner-ups as human beings that volunteer to do this thankless work. Losers. And a national director from KPFK told the LSB at KPFK two Sundays ago, well, 1 week ago, actually, she said the word losers twice, that that's what they were, and that the the LSB should just elect somebody to replace vacancies. Mr. Sagerton, I don't know why you voted for that. And I hope you will not be on the board again with that attitude.
Chair, may I please have a point of personal.
And I'm not finished. I don't like being interrupted.
All right, go on.
I want to say in 2013, Pacifica Board decided not to have an election because they said, well, lack of money. And so we did not have an election in 2013. But the six-year termed out people were replaced by the next runner-ups of the previous election. Everything went smoothly. But on October 20th, 2020, if you go to the PMB and you listen, they're about to have a vote, you know, whether to prevent six-year termed out people. Well, this is what they did. It's a very interesting meeting. You should listen to that. It's not very long. Mr. Sagerton comes in. Well, did anybody talk to Jan? Jan Goodman is a direct, she was not on the board at that time, but she's representing the New Day lawsuits. She's the chief lawyer, and now she is a KPFK director. Has anybody talked to Jan? And then Susan Young says, yes, I talked to Jan. And she says it's not all right if the six-year termed out people are replaced by runner-ups. Okay, and then Mr. Schwartz, our general counsel, he's saying, well, you know, Jan has a lot of time and a lot of money. And for my this is not exactly the quoting, every 300 pages that I present to the court, she's got 1,000 pages. And then they take a vote and they decide not to let six-year termed out people to be replaced by runner-ups. That was a mistake. That was a violation of the bylaws. And I think everybody here, do you see we're stuck in all this muck? Because you know what I think it is? Just same old self. Control. And instead of working on control of everybody, control of what's going on, and selfishness, we should be working hard for the future generation. They may not have this precious independent radio media.
All right, Nancy, are you nearly done, Nancy? Are you nearly done?
Back to you.
All right, fine. And I would point out to you, Nancy, that we had a problem. When was that problem with the local station board and directors of WBA were not seated, Jim? Was that 2016, 2017?
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, we're pretty familiar with how people want to play the game with this issue about, you know, sanctity of the bylaws. I mean, I hear you on your points. And yes, I was on the program council back in the early 90s. I do have a opinion about it. And yes, indeed, we will try to get it on the air. But as you know, there was just a big change in New York just a week ago. So we probably would have had no problem with the previous people in charge, but the situation now is dynamic, different. Go on, Jim.
Yeah, I just want to say that people who always interpret the bylaws to be in sync with their beliefs or their faction are exactly what Nancy is talking about, only she doesn't recognize it when she's doing it herself. Yeah, when three of the WBAI directors were kept off of the PNB in 2015. I didn't hear Nancy rising to defend the bylaws at that point. So I think we all need to read the bylaws and do our best job that we can to interpret them as they are written. I'll say it again. Only fill vacancies created midterm according to the bylaws. To use runners up to fill vacancies created by the lack of an election would be a violation of the bylaws of its. But I don't think we should waste time right now talking about that issue, because right now we have bigger fish to fry. This New Day group is trying to create a permanent majority for itself to take over the network by these bylaws that are about to happen. So, you know, we need to focus on the present.
All right, thank you, Jim. And I do appreciate that we have our New Day colleagues here interjecting with their comments. And I wanted to just answer the other question that you raised, that someone raised in this. We will have town halls. We'll have to have them on the air. I agree that they should be on the air, Nancy, totally. But we'll have more of them, and we will make sure the streaming problem doesn't happen again. And we also will invite other directors, other LSB members. That's a town hall. It's just not me. It's everybody who can participate. We'll invite them to come on. We'll invite... Now, the problem with Linda and Bertold is they have personnel issues, so they cannot really talk about certain things in public. Neither can Henley. I can't really ask him certain things that I could in executive session that I would do with no boundaries, all right? No boundaries, but I can't do that. So, but we will do that. We want to make sure that lots of people hear this, and yes, indeed, we can do all sorts of things with Zoom. We can probably have live events where we can talk about this. But what I'm concerned about more than anything else is the financial situation in New York has deteriorated to the point where that lovely goal that some people have to sell us is indeed in sight. And that is the main issue that brings us here tonight, at least those of us in New York. And, you know, no in-person BAI town hall. Well, you know, Zoom is pretty good, Jim. All right, call-in user 4. Go on, call-in user 4.
Is that me?
Yep, that's you. Call-in user 4.
All right. I got a call saying that you guys are still having a meeting. I thought I would call in so you guys would end the meeting.
We're not going to do that, Mario. We always love to have you on.
Oh, okay.
Even though you can be a pain in you know what, but go on.
Now, Jim, I got to tell you, no matter what, I still like you, you know?
I like you too. You make good lasagna.
I do. You're the only one. Everybody else, eh. Okay.
Go on, man. Say your piece.
I would say this. There's so many things I could say. You'd be funny, sarcastic, be angry. I'll say this.
Let it all hang out, Mario. Come on.
It sounds to me that the other three stations, for the most part, seem that they want to work together. Otherwise, that wouldn't be happening. Now, there's a few people who are holding out, 5, 8, whatever. And I would suggest that Washington and New York work together with Pacifica and stop, you know, like relinquish some, whatever it is that's polarizing. I think more than lawyers, you need some really good mediators for the whole network. So I would spend my money on one or two people who could make the peace, whether it be some actors, along with some attorneys, and stop all this stuff. I could just say it. I do what I do since, I don't know, 2005. You know, I go back to seeing Gary Null when I was 10, 11, and 12 years old and staying up late and him coming on the talk shows and peddling his book and having a crack up with the host. And then I go to, I'm 28 years old. I'm listening to BAI 1984 or something like that. And then I said, let me go help this guy with the running thing, you know, expand my horizon. And then I'm standing there and he's lecturing to the group and I'm going, this is that guy who was on the television that I used to see. And so that's where I go, where I come from. I'm a cookie, I say, that was baked in 1984. It's kind of ironic. That's the year I started listening to the network, 1984. We all know that's the book. I'm somebody who grew up that when I see bullshit and I see people who are taking advantage of other people either by lying or not telling them or manipulating, I don't like it. I don't care who it is. I don't do that. And especially in a large group setting. And some people take positions because they think, well, we have to do this because of this. This is where the mediation comes in. It's got to stop. I could tell you that if we don't work with Bob Hanlon in New York and bring him up to speed and work with him and increase participation and this continuity, it's funny. I say increase participation. If I were running as a board member, or I would control the station, I would, my core issue would be stop the lying and increase participation. His thing is, one of them is the continuity and stop the, illegality. So we have to stop all of this. And people talk about, well, against the bylaws. They're against the bylaws. Well, it's like whoever has the mic. Why do we have premiums in New York that went up to $2,500 and then in between? We have a bylaw that says no premium over $100. Then some people go, well, you know, we're not taking into account for inflation. We'll change the bylaw. Oh, no, we can't start doing that. We can't change the bylaw because, no, we can't touch that. But we're going to go against them because we have to survive. So premiums went to 150, 200, 250. This is why I do what I do. This is why I do what I do. 16,000 members at some point in 2006, Jim said at the church. I just don't buy this. Somebody has to be the parent here. Just because you had children, someone had children, doesn't make you an adult. You know, somebody has to parent this situation. I believe what the city is trying to do. Now, at the end of the day, if the roast beef is going to come off their table, do you think they're going to let their roast beef come off their holiday table? No. So they got to do whatever they got to do. One of the worst things New York did is make an enemy of people like me. Okay? You keep going. Just keep doing it. You get to be right. You get to be right. The person is, no, I want to cross the street. It's red light. Well, you're going to be dead, and you get to be right. You were right. I want to cross the street. So we have to stop this. I would turn it completely around on a dime. Stop the lawyers working on this. Go get mediators. But I don't think – people die hard, man. People die hard. And so that's my plan. Just stop it. You know, you have taken, do I explain who I am and how I come to this station? You have taken somebody like me and turned it into, bravo, the FCC is cracking down on accountability. I would rather see the New Day Pacifica shut this down. That's where you people or whoever in New York has done. You can do whatever you want. I'm naive. I'm 20 years old. I learned a lot of things. And then I started seeing some other stuff. You know, I go back when Mitchell was like handing out flyers and like was trying to get on the LSB. I felt sorry for this guy. I went down at the Union Hall where Mimi's place down there, down at Barrett Street. I really felt sorry for this guy. And he got in. And then I start seeing all the shenanigans with these people when they get involved. We have to stop this. Please, just let me end by saying, follow your own mission statement and bylaws. Be kind to your people. And the audience became, I listened to a lot of the producers. They loathe the audience. It's unbelievable. And it goes on and on. Okay, 10 seconds. This whole time that I listened for maybe 15 minutes, and my friend who called me has been listening since 8:30. No real plan to turn this around like that. please, just stop the fighting, get some mediators, and work with these people. Now, if it's really that bad, then it might be better to have a repeater station and have producers on the air saying what they do. And I don't like exclusive programming. When I listen to a program, if I don't sound included in it, if I don't sound included, if I don't feel included in the program, it's excluding me. That's racist. That's prejudice. And it shouldn't be on the air. But a lot of that has gotten on the air. So I say goodnight. One more time, you've taken a child, grew up in this, and I see what's going on, and just got abused. And so now I'm like, gee, whatever happens, happens. Let them duke it out. But I'm going to try to work with this guy. I mean, and when I mean work with him, I don't mean to have his back and fight the enemies. We'll try to do what we can to increase the listenership. You know, this guy brought $150,000 into the station, just like that, you know, did work. But you know, this should be supported. The place is supposed to be a union place anyway. We, you know, 2013, they got rid of, I don't know, 10 union people. And then they hired consultants who were non-union.
All right.
Please.
All right.
Thank you, Jim. I'll see you on the next one.
All right, Mario, thank you. And, all right. All right. Thank you for coming. And of the things we talked about earlier you missed. But anyway, all right. Now, yes, there will be more meetings. And
thank you, Mario.
Jack, there are meetings going on. They've been going on since last week. And people are definitely in gear. And there'll be more of that. So, you know, this is the first town hall. Nancy made a good critique. Let's get it on the air. Someone can ask that. And then, you know, we can work out how to deal with this. And yes, indeed, the critique about having other people on, we'll make sure next time when everybody's invited. But again, we have the ability here in New York, as you see, I'm not cutting anybody off. I'm letting people have their full sway, and you're not saying, you know, you got 90 seconds or shut up. I'm letting everybody say what they want to say. And that's one of the things we've always done when we've done these kind of events in New York City, which I know does not happen in the other signal areas. Okay. I mean, maybe in Los Angeles, Michael does his thing that way. That's cool. I hope he does, but you know, usually they don't do that. So, just keep that in mind. We try to have an open space here where everybody can express themselves. I'm not, you know, shutting people down, whatever. But I do want to wrap up. I want to just go over again what we started off with, that the reason we're here is over several changes that have been proposed by the majority in the board in these days. And one of them, of course, the most important one that we're focusing in on is this issue of filling in vacancies. Article 4, Delegate Section 10, filling of vacancies. And I'll read it again. What currently exists is this. If a delegate position becomes vacant midterm, that delegate shall be replaced for the remainder of his or her term by the highest ranked candidate from the last election of delegates for that class of members for that station who was not elected and who is available and continues to meet the delegate eligibility requirements as set forth in section 2A and 2B of this article of these bylaws, referring to article 4. In the event that no eligible and available candidate from the last election is found, then the delegates for the radio station shall appoint a member of the appropriate class to serve as delegate and fill the seat for the remainder of the term. That is the current bylaw. What is proposed to change it is this wording. If a delegate position becomes vacant midterm, that delegate shall be replaced for the remainder of his or her term by a candidate elected by secret ballot of a majority of the remaining delegates. I'll repeat that. That delegate shall be replaced for the remainder of his or her term by a candidate elected by a secret ballot of a majority of the remaining delegates. That is in sharp contrast to this wording. If a delegate position becomes vacant midterm, that delegate shall be replaced for the remainder of his or her term by a candidate elected by secret ballot of a majority of a the remaining delegates. In other words, this is, that's what they want. If a delegate position becomes vacant midterm, that delegate shall be replaced for the remainder of his or her term by the highest ranked candidate from the last election of delegates for that class of members. That is the result of the listener members being empowered to vote. Now, let me go back to this change, and I'll repeat it again. If a delegate position becomes vacant midterm, that delegate shall be replaced for the remainder of his or her term by a candidate elected by a secret ballot of a majority of the remaining delegates. The delegates may, but are not obligated to. I repeat that. The delegates may, but are not obligated to consider candidates from the last election of delegates for that class of members for that station who were not elected and who are available and continue to meet the delegate eligibility requirements as set forth in Section 2A or 2B of this article of these bylaws. The election should be held at the next LSB meeting, provided that delegates are given at least 5 days written notice of the names of candidates standing for election. If a third or more of the delegate seats are vacated, the LSB shall post a call for nominees both on air and on the station website for a period of at least 14 days before closing nominations, 5 days in advance of the next LSB meeting. And this was submitted by directors Irene Adams, Teresa Allen, Avelia Jones, Zach Calvadier, Minerva Sanders, Richard Ozell, Harvey Wasserman, and Alberto Willis. The argument that I made and others have made is that what this does is violate, in particular, a whole bunch of the articles of the bylaws, but in particular, Article 17, Amendment of Articles Incorporated Bylaws, in which they base their proposed amendment on the Section 1 of that Article 17, which allows directors to do these things, to put forth bylaws amendments. However, where it hits a roadblock, and which, in a sense, in my opinion, negates the ability of them to move further, and in essence, basically attacks the rights of the member in terms of the listener member rights, is when it hits the Section 3 of that Article 17. And that reads, in particular, I'll just simply read this sentence that I think is particularly appropriate to this. This is 5. Materially and adversely affect a member's rights as to voting or transfer. So it's pretty clear that if voters vote in election and they decide to rank choice candidates to be delegates, and if instead of that being respected in case they need to be replaced, instead the majority decides to pick the people that they like, they can either respect that part of the bylaw that exists in the old portion, but more than likely they're not, and they're just going to simply go by what they feel should be the predilections of that person they want to place. I mean, that's only human nature. So again, as I refer to that, you know, I am familiar. I must admit I'm now getting more familiar with the constitution of the of Pacifica, but I'm very, very, very familiar with the literature about the debates of the Constitution of the United States. I've read the entire transcript. I've read all the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, ad nauseum. And again, these are the very issues of the tyranny of the majority that were argued by James Madison in all the Federalist Papers. And so what we're seeing here is the tyranny of the majority unchecked being applied in this situation. So that is how I want people to leave with that thought. That is, to me, the most important aspect of this. But you should read the bylaws yourself and make up your own mind. We will indeed have other bylaws. We will have other meetings. We will probably do one next week. Keep in mind, people were talking to me about, you know, other things going on. Other things are already in motion, okay? Other things have been in motion now for a week and a half. and they will continue to be in motion. And those are not, they're going to go on. But we want to hear from everybody in the network. We want to make sure that we have colloquy with those that disagree with us, because that's the nature of a debate. You know, they can come back and say that they think this, they can think that, you know, and we're well prepared. We will be well prepared to argue. It's only sensible that people do this. But again, I look on this as a unnecessary sidetracking of energy away from the most important thing I raised early in the game here, which was when I put up this data, which had to do with the nature of the financing of the station in New York, which I will not put up again, but I will just summarize. In the past 13 to 16 days, the station, in terms of listener member donations, has only raised about $3,400, and it should have raised close to $40,000 to $50,000. And that is a serious problem. That is a serious, serious problem. But let me close out. Let me let Daryl and Nancy have last word. Go on, Daryl.
Let me close out. Can I ask you to save the chat?
Yeah, somebody has to show me how to do that, but I'll do that. Go on, Daryl. Daryl, you have to unmute. Daryl, are you there? Daryl, are you there? Did I put you to sleep, Daryl? All right.
Hello,
go
there.
On. Yeah,
am
go
I
on,
here?
Daryl. Yeah, go on, Daryl.
I mute my phone to keep from having noise disturb your, you know, presentation.
Go
now,
on, Daryl. Go on, Daryl.
I thought L was talking.
L wants to talk? Okay, go on. Well, okay, let L talk. Go on, L.
No, you called me again.
I did?
Okay.
I did not raise my hand.
It was a mistake, L. L, can I go ahead then?
Then, L, I was not, I, for some reason.
Excuse me, let me say something.
Go on, L.
If I raise my hand, that means I'm asking for permission. And I have not raised my hand. So whoever's monitoring, please note that.
Thank you,
I will
Elle.
Not speak over anyone.
Thank
it's
you,
rude.
Thank you, Elle. Okay, thank go you. On, Daryl. Go on, Daryl.
I think the energy needs to go into A, explaining, just like you just did, the bylaw changes to the listeners through programming, especially at least if you're going to do that piece over the 15 minutes piece over again, needs to be available in the archive, and then we need to get people who are friendly to refer the listeners to the archive so that they can understand it, why it's important to be able to vote in situations. However, most of the energy has to go into getting the listeners to understand that unless they get other people they know to listen to the station, and one way you do that is by opening up your archive, having somebody explain how you share programs that you find fascinating with other people. The other thing is that, especially during this time of I'm going to call it the Gaza student revolt, how do we do outreach to each campus so that they begin listening to our programming? They did have on the WKCR staff, news staff. Why don't we, do you have a relationship with Jelani Kyle?
I do indeed. And what happened up there, and I will let you know what was intended to happen, was at one point the university was going to shut them down.
Right.
Shut WKCR down.
Yeah.
And anybody knows the history of WBI radio knows that during the 1968 student revolt at Columbia University, we were completely integrated in letting them come on the air, and WKCR was totally covering that event. So I will tell you something that was intended to happen if they were shut down. We were going to let them come on the air in New York and broadcast if they were shut down at KCR by the university, okay? And we would still do that. I'm sure Henley would do that. But that was something that Linda indeed intended to do. I went up there myself. I did not talk to KCR. I saw them. I talked to Jelani. That's a whole other situation I will not get into right now. Jelani actually opened up the campus at one point and was giving press passes to everybody until the administration and Lowell Library shut that down. But Jelani is a very open guy, and that's a whole other thing. But you know what? All the dealings with this new situation are up in flux. And, you know, that's what I'd want to share with you, Daryl. But, yes, indeed, we were going to let KCR come on the air if, indeed, Columbia had shut them down. That was a plan that was going to be implemented.
So all the right. Other piece that, with regard to outreach, I mean, down to the high school level, we need to get people to listen yeah. to the station, as you well know, because you have the figures. So I'm asking everybody I know to listen to the station. I talk to people in Korea and the Philippines and give them WBAI.org. We're an international station. We broadcast international information that isn't heard anywhere in New York. And then that leads to the money.
Yeah. And I should add that all these people who are making all these little comments on the chat, you know, be privileged that we let you come on here, because if we were in other radio stations, we'd just simply throw your ass out of here, all right? And you don't have the guts to come on and talk openly with all of us. Instead, you want to do this chat stuff. That's cool. I respect that. But guess what? You know, you don't come on here and actually talk your ideas openly and let us know who you are, because that would sort of say a lot to us.
Well, seven.
And instead of that, you like to be punks. I'll use a New York expression, punks. And, you know, you can quote me all you want. If you decide to be honest and intellectually critique, I respect that. But I don't, you seem to be angry. Give me a break. All right, Nancy, go on, Nancy.
I almost forgot what I was going to say. Sorry.
That I've never heard you do.
The bylaws that's being amendment, it should not be there because it relates to those points that require a referendum, means the whole network has to vote yes or no. So it cannot be, it should not be, according to the bylaws, getting rid of the runner-ups from joining. This should not be on a bylaw amendment process. This is where the bylaws is being violated. And about this, what has happened, the LSB's right to give input about changing their management, or the executive director's right to do that. It has to be these two groups. The LSB in this case was just, you know, out of the picture. It was a decision by the PMB, and the ED announced it. I don't really think she has admitted that her contract does not allow her to hire or fire. She's just in a very expensive, never mind. She's just saying what the PMB's decisions and desires are. So this happened to KPFT in 2022. We were just told, oh, you have no more manager, and he has decided to leave. And we're told he was given a choice to be pro bono or stay as pro bono or leave, and he chose to leave. And we didn't have any input. The LSB had no input, nothing. We're just told you have a new manager. It's one of your staff board members. And this staff board member continued to vote while he was manager, which is a which is a violation of the bylaws. And that, and people on this call, did not do anything to change that. The two gems, I mean, you failed KPFT. You failed us. Now you're in the same hot soup and you understand how it feels. You know, our IGM, he's now, paying money. He calls them commissions, $1 an hour to volunteers. And when we've got a station that is sinking in New York City and we've got a station that is dog paddling in Los Angeles and he's starting to pay. And then we're saying on the air, we're volunteer run and listener sponsored. Y'all picked the wrong manager for us. And I don't know if this is going to happen. I would think when I hear Mr. Hennelly, he's on KPFT's air at 5 a.m. on the Arnie Arneson show. Sometimes she invites him. He sounds, perfectly sane. He sounds better than the manager we have. I hear he's very, knowledgeable and interested in labor. I hear good things, but I don't like the part that y'all were bamboozled. You were ignored, insulted. And I say you, the LSB of BAI, by not having any kind of input. And I think the bylaws are missing. You know, I suggested a long time ago, the staff, we should have a vote of the staff. Is this manager doing well, you know, or not doing well? Would you hire this manager again? You know, and I asked our manager a long time ago, would you accept a vote of the staff, whether you resign or not? And, he fidgeted for a while and then he said, oh yes, I'll respect, a vote of this staff. You know, I thought that might be a good thing to add to our bylaws. Because staff is just, you know, just ignored. And our staff have almost no power. They live in fear of losing their show by the way they vote. Mm. I mean, I could say that for almost everybody, all the staff, except for one thing. I've never heard them say it, but I've been around for 15 years now, and I felt sorry for the staff more than I said, this is the slaves. This is the plantation slaves. Okay, I ranted enough. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Nancy. Yeah, I can't comment about anything about Bob. Go on, Carolyn.
Thanks. This is getting back to what happened at the suppression of news. I was at Columbia in 1968. And I was staying all night supporting the students by trying to protect the buildings from the cops. But we knew a bus was coming, and everybody was very tense. And sure enough, the police showed up, and things got rather nasty. The first aid station that the university set up turned out to be just for information gathering on who was injured and how much, and did they students or faculty, and were they going to sue? So I sort of limped off the campus around 2 a.m. and had coffee across the street at Chock Full of Nuts. And I went home and I got up early, I thought about getting up early to get the New York Times so I could see what happened in the paper. The New York Times the next morning had a half inch on the front page about a police action at the station. It turned out that the author was also a trustee of Columbia University. So much for the New York Times coverage. What kept the thing alive? All night, WBAI had guess who on all night taking in phone calls from the station, from the campus, from students and faculty and everybody else who could reach BAI. And he just kept the phones open all night until 5 or 6 in the morning at least. And that taught me the power of one producer who's very good. You can't, you know, replace, good radio with bad and expect it to thrive. He was unusual. It was a great station and it was a great effort, but somehow we're forgetting that part of it has to do with the talent of the producers. It's not all about how much they're paid or who's running the show. It's whether they can attract an audience.
Right. Very true. All right. Well, on that note, we will do this again. It'll be within a week. We will make sure that it's streamed when we start it again. We will bring other people on, other board members, directors can participate. I will not comment on any of their opinions about any of this. All the directors in New York are more or less unanimous in fighting this, attempt to change the bylaws. Okay. I will not comment. I mean, people know who the directors are. For all of us to be cooperating together, is a different kind of thing. And yes, we'll try to get the town hall announced on the air. We did have a change in management the past week. We will indeed, do our best to make sure that people listen. Now, the other thing we can do is, someone may have been, recording this aside from me, and we can always set up a YouTube channel. YouTube channels do exist. I am involved with several, and we can throw it up on the YouTube channel. In fact, we were going to take one of the events that occurred just recently and put it on a YouTube channel. So that will happen, and we'll let people know where they are. And so we will have mass communication. Some people have talked about demonstrations at the stations. That's not a bad idea. One of our people who's on the phone line here with us now had suggested that, and that's in the hopper to be one option. Another option is indeed live announced by programmers are more meaningful. Yeah. Someone are asking me, are Reimers and Perry still employed by Pacifica? They're on administrative leave. Okay. I think that's the public statement. They are on administrative leave. And yes, those who disagree.
Administrative leave, you should note.
Pardon me?
It's paid administrative leave. I was just saying you should note.
Right. Yes. It's paid administrative leave.
They voted, voted to authorize them being fired, and then they realized that they didn't follow the process, the bylaws process.
That's indeed what occurred. In any event, and we will make sure there's, as I say, there's other activities going on. I know the Fight Back people are in gear, and other initiatives are going on. In addition to that, have been going on ever since this all started about a week ago, and they will continue. Those who are on this call who are part of those meetings know exactly what I'm talking about. We're not ignoring this. And again, the issue is to have as a outcome of this, I'm sick and tired of arguing with people in the Bay Area about the situation financially in New York. Cause, you know, there's a part of their arguments I agree with, frankly. It just is that the level, and this is my opinion, of course, the level of nihilism is just off the charts. I mean, and I say that as someone whose family moved out to the Bay Area back in the 60s. I mean, I love the Bay Area. I think it's a great area. I'm just not into, what I would describe as sort of a very myopic, Berkeley radical, point of view that, I saw some people in Berkeley have, not everybody. Because again, for movement purposes, Berkeley and the Bay Area have always been spectacular, have always been exciting, have always been an innovative place in the country. But you get some people there who get very parochial. They can be as chauvinistic, if you will, about their perspective as a New Yorker can. You know, that famous New Yorker cartoon where everything falls down into oblivion when you cross the Hudson. You know, that unfortunately some people have. But certainly some people in the Bay Area have too. And certain people around KPFA tend to be in that camp as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, we will have meetings and we will get action done. And trust me, there's a lot of things caught in the hopper. So on that note, I want to bid everybody fond adieu. Administrative leave. Yeah, administrative leave, paid administrative leave. Everyone else here seems to, well, they'll be dead within 10 of years. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I'll be dead sooner than that, man. So anyway, and I'm glad you're in your 30s. What we need is people who are teenagers. And that's what we really need. I look, we once had a meeting where Mitchell Cohen brought in a bunch of teenagers to do a program downstairs in the old cafe. And that was an amazing event. I actually cried. I don't cry too often, but there were 30 kids down there doing stuff. And that is the thing we need to do. We need to reach out to the high schools and the high schools in New York City, all of them, parochial, private, public, all of them. Get those kids in the mix. And they don't really have an interest in throwaway controlling. Well, you know, that opens up a whole other can of worms, Nancy. Anyway, all right. So you guys have a good week. And yes, indeed, the shit is on.